And now it is my privilege to introduce tonight's speaker, Zach from Visalia, I think. Thanks, Zach.
Hello, I'm Zach and I'm an alcoholic. Before I start, I apologize ahead of time. I'm like 2 hours asleep, so I'm probably going to cuss like a sailor. And I'm going to clear a couple things real quick. I don't play AA or NA politics or any of that crap, so I'll probably be talking about pot a little bit. If you don't like it, I'm sorry. They got a meeting on Acequia and Locust. You can go probably catch the end of that meeting. They got a meeting at the Alano. That's at 8 o'clock. But you asked me to speak, so that's what's going to come out of my mouth, part of my story. All right, so where do I start? I think there was something else I wanted to talk about, but I just can't remember. This is either going to be really, really fun, or I'm going to look like a complete jackass. I didn't think about this speaking at all, so I have no idea what's going to come out of my mouth, so feel free to laugh. I think I'm funny. I'm going to laugh at myself, because I think I'm fucking hilarious. If you don't laugh, that's cool too. I probably shouldn't do this, but I don't care because I do this when I was down south. If you don't want to be here, give me your court card. I have a fancy pen. I will sign it for you and you can get on your way. I believe this is a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. If you want to be here, you want to be here. I will not waste your time. You do not have to waste my time.
That's right.
If you don't want to be here, I'm not going to force you. I'm not the judge or the DEA. I wish I got paid like that. I told you, I thought I'm funny. So where do I start? Alright, today I have 5 years. That is half a decade. If you had asked me 5 years ago, I'd have said hell no. But here I am. For some reason, being here in 5 years, I have noticed the ones that I never thought would make it sober have made it, and the ones that we all thought would stay sober did not. Funny how life works. I got sober down south in Los Angeles. I was really, really young when I got sober. I was 21. I think I legally went to a bar twice. We'll rewind back a little bit before I get back to that. So growing up down south, I can't sit here and say that my life as a child was all bad. It wasn't bad at all. Father had a good job. Mom was there. No heartaches, no abuse in the family. No drug usage. Pretty sheltered kid. Kind of like that American dream, that nice house, the white picket fence on the hill type scenario, which was fine and dandy until I turned 15. When I turned 15, I was a teenager, and my father died. He died of a rare brain disease called CJD. It's Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease. It's like mad cow. It deteriorates your brain from the inside out and you go crazy. So imagine Alzheimer's in a 6-week period. Real brutal shit. So when he died, I lost my shit completely. I went from kind of a spoiled little rich-ass white kid and kind of ventured out. I was kind of sheltered. And I wanted to... I guess as a kid, I thought it was a gangster, but it really wasn't. As an adult, I want to say it was more a thug. So, onto the thug life. I think I'm funny. So, started hanging around, we'll just call it the riffraff crowd. Started getting in trouble. And wanted to get accepted. I ended up moving out of the city probably around 12, and about 14, didn't have a lot of friends, didn't mix well in the suburbs too well. We moved from the city to the suburbs, and suburban white kids are fucking nuts and do crazy shit and run around and play in the street. I come from Los Angeles, you play in the street, some pice is gonna run you over with a pickup truck and keep on driving. We don't play in the street. You don't chase the ball either, because that's just gonna get ran over also. Don't play in the street. So, didn't mix in well. Thought I was better than, or at least had common sense. So I wanted to get accepted. So what were these kids doing? Well, I found the after school special. These kids were smoking pot and drinking beer. I want to join. So the first time I got drunk was kind of a double whammy. It was a triple whammy, actually. When it was after school, it was in junior high, we went over to my buddy's house. They threw me a warm can of Tecate, which is disgusting. Never liked it. Don't like warm beer. Don't like Tecate. Two mixes that I don't like. We drank that, poked a couple holes in the can, smoked some marijuana, and then they threw me a Marlboro Red. I still smoke cigarettes to this day. Triple whammy. That happened all in about 20 minutes. Didn't like the Tecate, loved pot. Loved pot a lot, smoked a lot of pot. Smoked pot like it was going out of style. And that was a little bit before my dad died, a few months after my dad died, lost my shit. Thug life, here we come. And it kind of just, from the time I was 15 to 21, it progressively got worse. A lot of encounters with our lovely L.A. County Sheriff. We think Visalia PD is bad. L.A. County Sheriff will whoop your ass. They don't. They did not play games. A lot of run-in with the police. Started getting involved with some gangsters, thugs. Wanted to be cool, wanted to fit in, so hey, we're gonna do all that. Caught a juvenile case, so now I'm on paper, now I'm really tough. Fucked me over as an adult. And in and out of mom's house. Come back. Oh, I'm good. I'm not smoking pot anymore. Da 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 da. Go back to mom's house one more time. Get kicked out. That routine over and over again. Any of this sound familiar? Any of you guys? Am I the only one? I know JC's not, but am I the only one? All right, cool. We got a couple of them. So maybe my story will be similar to yours. Maybe it won't. I don't know. So in and out of mom's house. By the time I turned 21, we'll just skip ahead. I mean, it's all the same shit and fucking ducking in bushes from ghetto birds from the police and shit like that. Started kind of going, the suburban thugs aren't really cool, so let's go find the LA thugs. Started hanging out in South Central LA. Wall Street, ever heard of it? No? It's by USC, it's about half a mile, real notorious killing zone. Let's go hang out with the Crips and Bloods. That'd be fun. Not fun. Not fun. If you think you are tough shit, we'll see how tough you are when a Molotov cocktail gets thrown at you. That shit is scary as fuck. To think that you are about to get burned alive is scary. I don't care who you are. That shit's scary. Getting shot at, like, suburban thugs don't have guns, and, like, Bloods and Crips and, like, SAs and Southsiders, all that shit, yeah, they got fucking AKs. It was fucking nuts. So, yeah, a lot of real violence. I went from, like, sheltered white kid to, like, go see what happens over here. A good experience. I don't know if I'd go back down there and play it all again. So, yeah. So by the time I turned 21, I am assed out. I am homeless. I have jumped from every couch that I possibly can. And I am living out of a tent in Castaic, California. Ever heard of it? About a half mile away from Wayside Pitches, LA County Detention Center, and about 2 miles away from Magic Mountain. Roller coasters and everything, and I can see it from my tent. Yeah. The Santa Ana winds came in, ripped the roof off of our tent. I was living with a friend of mine. When it rained on us. When I'd wake up in the morning, I had flies on my face. I couldn't eat because I couldn't afford it. When you don't have $1.20 to go get a cheeseburger, you know you're broke. I only had a dollar. I had two pairs of clothes and was living out of a backpack, and I had the nice looking MacGyver mullet. I wear this because I'm a little self-conscious. MacGyver mullets do not look good when you have a receding hairline like mine. That shit looks fucked up. I thought I looked like the shit. Couldn't make a MacGyver tool for the hell of it, but hey, MacGyver's cool, right? Anybody not know who MacGyver is? Everybody know who MacGyver, okay. You don't know, MacGyver makes like bombs out of like straws and rubber bands and paper clips and shit. So that's where I ended up at 21, assed out and homeless. Went running to mommy's house one more time. What am I supposed to do? I'm 21 years old. Get on the phone, and she says, let's go find this sober living halfway house, and let's go talk to this reverend. I said, okay. Went to talk to the reverend. He said, you ever been to an AA or an NA meeting? I said, no. He said, you ever heard anything about steps? I said, I try not to trip over them when I walk. I didn't know shit about AA. I think I'm funny. By the way, you don't have to like me. I don't really care if you like me because I like myself. That's the way to go about it. So we go. He says, come back tomorrow and we'll see if we can get a bed for you at this halfway house sober living thing. Okay. So that night was the last time I got intoxicated. I went and bought a tall can of Mickey's, and I walked to the park. Actually, a little bit before that, I was so miserable. I don't really talk about this too much. I was so miserable. Suicide attempts are a part of my story that I wanted to hang myself, and I wrapped that noose around, and I was ready to jump off the banister of the stairs. Thankfully, I didn't do that, but I have gotten that miserable in sobriety and out of sobriety, and I'll get to that soon. Didn't do that. Went and got drunk. That's a great alternative. If you think you're going to blow your brains out or anything, go pick up the beer. Might actually save your life from yourself. I know that's a catch-22 there. We're not supposed to say that, but I have heard that, and I do agree with that because that's what happened to me. Went and got the beer, climbed the hill, smoked my little bit of pot. Magic Mountain in the distance. We looking at roller coasters. Welcome to L.A. suburbs. That was the last time I smoked or drank. Next day I woke up, went to an NA meeting, have no idea what the fuck they talked about. They read some book called Just for Today, went to an AA meeting right after that, don't remember what the hell they talked about. They read a book just called Daily Reflections, and went and talked to the reverend, and I said, okay, so what's going on now? He said, well, I have a bed for you, but you have to leave now. I said, whoa, I don't know about that. And I did not know if I wanted to get sober, and I walked straight out of that meeting hall. I walked straight out of that meeting hall, said, I don't know if I want to do this, and walked half a mile down a long-ass desert road called Sierra Highway in King Country to go live under the wash with all the hobos and homeless people. And thankfully, mommy saw me one more time walking down the street. What the hell are you doing, knucklehead? Get in the car. Okay, back to the meeting hall, and said, Reverend, I don't have anything else to lose at this point. I've lost everything else and pretty much want to lose my life, so let's give it a shot. Next thing I know, I am on the back of a motorcycle with a dude that just got out of prison, 29 and a half years for murder, on the back of his motorcycle without a helmet, shooting off to the mobile home park to go to sober living. My introduction to Alcoholics Anonymous, I cannot make this shit up. And that's how my story, my introduction began. So I started going to these meetings. I looked like a newcomer because I was a newcomer, still hadn't gotten a haircut, still wearing my holy pants with my shoes that were falling apart. And I walk in, and everybody, you know, when you see that newcomer, he's just tore up, and you know he's new. Yeah, that's what I looked like. So I get in there. Oh, hey, how you doing, Zach? How you doing? You got a sponsor yet? No, motherfucker, I've been here for like 20 minutes. What the hell is a sponsor? After 3 days of everybody that I talked to asking if I had a sponsor, I said, I don't want to be asked this question anymore. My buddy took me to this meeting where it was a sponsor-sponsee meeting, and I said, I'm going to leave with a sponsor. They're going to stop asking me that stupid question. That wasn't the issue, the result of that. They kept asking me if I had a sponsor, and I just had a different response. So, yeah, I got a sponsor. After 3 days, I grabbed one. I said, okay. Found a dude. He had what I liked. He had a career in the military, something I always wanted. He had a house. He had a wife, two kids, a vehicle. Made a decent living. Hey, that's all I ever wanted in life, you know. Didn't have to be the big picket fence house on the hill. I've been there, done that. So a little bit of property is nice. Let's follow this guy around, see what he's got. So he was not a weekend warrior. What the hell is the Army Reservist? There we go. He was an Army Reservist. So on the weekends, he'd go do Army, and then he'd go do his regular job. So I started following this guy around and started doing the steps with him. Step one, you know, admitted I was powerless, and I've been asked by Bill to kind of emphasize on step three a little bit because it's the third month of the year, so he wants me to talk about step three. So I did step two with this gentleman, and then I got to step three, so I'm going to talk about step three for a little bit. I don't have this, like, I'm really simple. If you use big words, I'm going to tell you to dumb it down because I'm not going to understand what the fuck you're talking about. So for me to understand step three, I had to do it in the most simplistic way. So if you're new, this might help you. So they got to step three and they said, Zach, you're making this all complicated. Somebody sat me down and he said, just do this really simple. And he told me this story. I heard this. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. There's three frogs on a log. One of them decides to jump. Made the decision to turn our will and our lives over to God. So one of them decides to jump. How many frogs are on the log? Anybody know? Three. Three. That was six. Three. Made a decision to jump. Didn't make the action to jump. I had to make a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understood him. Not an action. That is what got me through step three. I made a decision. I can make a decision to speed down the street. I don't necessarily have to. I can make a decision to rob a bank too. I don't necessarily have to. I think about it. So that's what got me through step three. Anyways, moving on. Went through step four and five with this gentleman. And then he, remember, Army guy. Gotta go to Missouri. I don't remember what military base is out there, but he goes to Missouri for a week or two. Like maybe 2 days after I do my step four and five with this gentleman, and he goes to Missouri, and this guy comes back drunk. So everybody, this guy that I have just told my deepest and darkest secrets to is now drunk. Fuck me. I thank that gentleman this day. He helped me get my start in Alcoholics Anonymous. I love that man. I believe that he helped save my life and keep my ass in a seat in these rooms. Unfortunately, he is not sober. It has been almost 5 years since he has relapsed. I wish him the best of luck, and I hope he gets his shit together, because there is always a welcome seat here for anybody that wants to sit here. So, I hope he, I hope he comes back one day. I'd love to see him. If you relapse, I'm not a relapser, sorry to say, but if you relapse, don't be ashamed to come back in here, man. There's an open seat. If you want it, it's here. Remember, don't waste my time, don't waste your time. If you don't want to be here, don't be here. I signed your court card. The offer still stands, by the way. I got my pen. As I said, you're either going to like me or you're not. I don't really give a fuck. I like myself. In those, like, that month period without a sponsor, I held on really tight to the men that I knew in Alcoholics Anonymous, got another sponsor. I was going to sign it. So I held on and I started doing steps and I got all the way to step 11. And then this weird thing happened. Not really weird. I just stopped practicing principles that I had learned in Alcoholics Anonymous and started reverting to an old mindset. And old mindset started turning into old behavior. So what does old behavior look like? Old behavior looks like you still in a sober living, but you hanging out in the hood with the homies and the homeboys who ain't doing shit that they wasn't doing 2 years ago, still sitting on the porch playing bones, drinking the same beer that they was drinking 2 years. And I started doing that, and I started getting back involved with thugs, sober. I was a sober thug, go figure. He's laughing. It's funny, isn't it? And started acquiring these certain illegal objects that I probably shouldn't have had. You're supposed to have specific paperwork for this kind of shit, but I don't really care because I'm a sober thug and what the fuck? Paperwork. I don't pay for paperwork. Probably about 3-4 months down there, dicking around, and I moved to Visalia. Hello, Visalia! Hello, Tulare County! Yay! From LA to Visalia. I won't get into my opinions about Visalia. I'll piss off the whole room. Anyways, I end up in Visalia, and I'm what you consider a dry drunk, a member that is sober but not working a program of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I am miserable. Miserable, miserable, miserable. Remember, I got suicide in my story. Hey. 2.5 years sober, I got so miserable that I wanted to die. At 2.5 years sober, I put a loaded 357 Magnum with hollow points in my mouth and damn near pulled that trigger. I wanted to die sober. That is a miserable way to live. And fortunately, I didn't do that either, because otherwise I wouldn't have 5 years. You would have seen my eulogy a few years back, but I didn't do that. So what do I do then? Dicked around for like 6 months. Not proud of this. Some of you remember this. I know there's a couple of you in the back from Pine that remember this. Was chasing this girl. You shouldn't do this, but was chasing this girl around AA meetings, and that didn't turn out well. I don't recommend you chase after each other in AA or NA meetings. Doesn't work well. Was like the only reason I was going to meetings at that point. AA meetings was like female anatomy. It was kind of what took was AA meetings. Anyways, these are all mistakes I've made in sobriety. Maybe you can learn and not do it the hard way like I have. They say you shouldn't get a girlfriend or a boyfriend within the first year. I don't really listen to stuff like that. So like my first girlfriend sober. Hey, Santa Claus. My first girlfriend I got when I was like 90 days sober, and she was a drunk. So not only did I have a girlfriend, but she like drank half a gallon of vodka a day. So wouldn't recommend that either. Had to cut that off. A lot of pain. Took like 9 months to get rid of her. Anyways, so ditch. Get, pull my head on my ass, stop chasing girls, and I become like a service junkie. Alcoholics Anonymous has like gears. This is the way it was explained to me, and like there's different notches. You ever seen the triangle? Unity, service, recovery. It kind of has its a balance. And I took service like way up here, and like recovery was like still way down here, damn near on the floor. I could have like kicked it if I wanted to. And I became a service junkie and had like 7 or 8 commitments at one time. And all I did was like eat, breathe, shit, Alcoholics Anonymous meetings. I was CSR for 2 meetings. I was going to GSR meetings. I was going to H&I meetings. I was going to the breakfast meeting in Springville to record that. I was recording the meeting in Porterville once a month. I was, she mentioned it. I was on the Tookie Paw Committee. I can't even remember the position I had. Service liaison. That's why I was going to CSR and GSR and H&I meetings, right?
Miss you.
Yep, miss you guys too. I was helped start the Visalia Young People's meetings. I was one of the founders of that. I helped start the Porterville Young People's meetings. I was driving down to Porterville every Friday as a GSR for that meeting. Like every day I was doing something AA related, and that's not really healthy. There's got to be a balance. 1, 2, if you're like crazy like Bill, maybe 3 commitments, not 8. That's like excessive. So I kind of got out of that. You can do a lot of that stuff when you're like unemployed, in a sense. It'd be poor shit because you gotta drive everywhere, but you have a lot of time. I started kind of growing up a little bit and like getting a job, so now I have a job. It's a shitty job, but it's a job. I don't like it very much, but hey, it's a job. I pay bills. When I got here, I didn't know how to pay no utility bill. I thought electricity was just turned on. I thought the switch was like connected to some kind of, I don't know. I hung out in the ghettos. Most of that time, that shit was connected to the neighbor's house. So was the cable. It was free. I thought electricity was free. There used to be like wires running from transformers to our houses I hung out at. A lot of houses. I thought electricity was free. Gas man, come and turn your shit off. We had crescent wrenches. Anyways, I thought utilities were free for a while. You have to pay for those. Gas bill is expensive when you're running in the winter. So, so I started learning stuff that I didn't know about. I got here when I was 21. I didn't know anything about responsibility. Started learning responsibility. So I wouldn't say that this is necessarily recovery. Some people I have talked to have said this is service. I don't really see it as that. But now I guess what I do, I guess you can call it service. I work at central office. I don't volunteer. I work. Difference. You can laugh. Let me laugh. I'm not a glum lot. Laugh at me. I'm funny. Here's my hairline again. Funny, huh? Laugh at my my hairline. I work at central office on Saturdays. I answer phone calls. I sell literature. If you've gotten chips, I probably played with them because sometimes it gets boring. I juggle chips at central office. No, I'm kidding. I don't juggle chips at central office, but I do inventory of how many chips we have, you know, several other things. So yeah, I worked at central office on Saturdays. As I said, I don't consider that recovery. I keep the try and keep the two separate, but some people have said, ah, that's service, I guess. I don't know. I've talked to some people and directed them to the meetings and stuff, and if you ever want to come hang out on Saturday, I'm there, 9 to 1. Just come hang out. You think you're going to get drunk, come hang out at central office. So that's cool. That's like a whole another perspective of like AA, man. There's like different levels, and that's kind of like our area. You know, it's just learning, man. I mean, I've had all sorts of commitments. I had a commitment at this meeting like 3 years ago. I made coffee. I made the best damn AA crack coffee you ever tasted. Those two like big things, man, you'd be up all night when I was making it. So yeah, I know how to make AA crack coffee. Didn't know how to make coffee when I got here. Didn't drink coffee when I got here. And AA taught me how to make crack coffee. Starbucks ain't got shit on me. I've handed out chips. I've shaken hands in front of meetings. I've GSR, kind of CSR. You know, I've done secretary meetings. I've never treasured. They've never trusted me with money. Not at a meeting. But the county does. The AA Central Office does now. I'm 5 years and I'm a reputable person now. I'm responsible. Sometimes them bills get paid late. I ain't perfect. So, am I supposed to go on for like another 5 minutes? I'm rambling. I've been rambling for a while. I'll leave you with this, because I've been all over the place in like 5 years. There's a lot to talk about. Sometimes, you know, this is AA. As I said, the lucky few make it. The ones that actually do work a program. I've made a foundation for myself to stay sober. But people die here. I know that I've been acting like a jackass the whole time I've been up here. But on a serious note, you know, I've seen a lot of people come and go, and I've seen some really wicked deaths. Some people, I see more gnarly deaths in LA than I do up here, to be honest, but there's some gnarly deaths of people that don't make it. And I've been there, done that. As I said, I tried to hang myself and blow my brains out. A few years back, he's gonna remember this. A few years back, there was a dude, he jumped off that parking structure across the street from Cahuilla Delta. You know, shit like that. I've known people jump in front of trains and stuff like that. They couldn't get sober. So, you know, this is life or death situation. I try and have a good time, man. I have like a twisted sense of humor, so a lot of stuff I have to laugh at. So yeah, so just remember this. A man told me this when I got not when I got sober, but when I was having hard times. This decisions that I make today affect me tomorrow. So if I go to an AA meeting tonight, maybe something will happen tomorrow. Maybe it'll help me with recovery, or maybe I'll meet a sponsor. I'm really keen on like a phone. You know, use it, utilize it. It's not in, you know, the 30s anymore. We do have phones. Call somebody. Pick up that phone. Make a phone call, you know. But as I said, bad decisions too. If I rob a bank today, I'm probably going to be in prison tomorrow. Won't have to worry about them gas bills. 3 meals a day. Shitting in the toilet in front of another man. Nah, we'll pay those gas bills late. So, but decisions I make today affect me tomorrow. I'm Zach, and I'm an alcoholic. Thanks for letting me ramble. And that's it.